Well, good morning, everyone. While I get my stand set, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 46. So we are kind of in between series at the moment. We wrapped up our series last week, and then we're starting a new series next week. And so this week we're going to be looking at a psalm. And so we're going to look at Psalm 46. And so just a couple of things as we think about looking at the Psalms and kind of just Psalms in general. So the Psalms were the hymn book of ancient Israel. So these are, you know, the Psalms of the covenant community. This is what the people of God would sing in worship. And so as we think about the Psalms, something that's helpful is that the Psalms help give voice, give words to the emotions and the feelings that we might have inside. You know, they help us express our deepest feelings. And so that's helpful about the Psalms as we think about it, because we have the whole range of emotions within the Psalm and the hymn book. Like, it teaches us how to praise. It teaches us how to pray. It teaches us how to lament and how to think as well. And so before I kind of read our Psalm this morning, kind of one question I think that's helpful as we read any Psalm or Scripture in general is, whenever we read this Psalm, though, this morning, what is the author? What is the psalmist trying to tell us about? One, who is God, and how do we ought to feel about him? Like, who is God, and how do we ought to feel about him? So I invite you to join me as I read Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Let me pray for our time this morning. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are our God. You are the Almighty God. And so I pray that this morning that you would open our hearts to what you have to say to us here in Psalm 46, that you would give me the right words to speak, and that it would be a blessing. Our time would be a blessing and an encouragement to each of us this morning. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, this time that we kind of live in is a time where we kind of reflect and think about things that are going on. And one of the things that I've kind of reflected on is that there haven't been too many moments when I've been super fearful about what's going to happen next. But there was that moment for me several years ago. In fact, as we were moving out from St. Louis to here, I had one of those moments where I was not sure of what was going to happen. I was super fearful. And so, you know, I had graduated from school out in St. Louis. We knew we wanted to come back to Pennsylvania. And so we didn't quite have a place to live. So we, you know, moved halfway across the country. We put ourselves in storage down there on, you know, Route 30. We didn't have a place to live. So while I was going to try and find a place to live, you know, the girls, it was just Kate and then Annabelle and Maya, they were going to go live with my grandparents for about a month out in Staten Island, New York. And so that's kind of what our plan was. And so I just want to kind of preface the next part of the story. You know, Maya at the time was only like 1 month old. She obviously turned out okay. She's coloring in the pew back there. So just kind of as a preference to what I'm about to say next, like, she turns out okay. Okay. So, but during that time that we are in New York, Maya starts to get very sick. Like, she starts to get very lethargic, and she starts to get warmer and warmer and hotter and hotter. So we take her into urgent care. And so we get to urgent care, you know, the doctor gets in, and she kind of does the once-over, the physical, And part of the physical is, of course, take the temperature. And as soon as the doctor takes her temperature, she's like, okay, we're going to send you to the hospital because her temperature is way too high. Like, there wasn't even a question, like, oh, you could take her in. It's like, no, what hospital are you going to now? And mind you, I'm on Staten Island, New York. I have no idea what hospitals are around. So we go to the hospital based on what the pediatrician recommended. Hey, we're going to go to this hospital. Okay, we get to the hospital. They knew we were coming. They put us in this room, and then, you know, the doctor kind of comes in. And then the doctor starts to do their tests. And so then the doctor's doing the physical and the temperature, starts to take blood, and then tries to get an IV in. And because Maya's only a month old, it's really hard for them to get this IV in. And so here I am. I'm in this hospital in Staten Island, New York. My stuff is in Chambersburg. My Annabelle, who's older, she's 20 months at the time, is with my mom and my grandparents. And here Kate and I are sitting in this small little room with our one-month-old on the bed, tubes coming out of her, and she's screaming. And I am helpless. I am powerless. There is nothing I can do to change the situation. It's like I am so fearful. I don't know what is going to happen next. And I think when we are at our most scared, when we're at our most fearful, it's when we feel powerless and we don't know what's going to happen next. When the circumstances outside of our control, outside of ourselves, feel so big and so overwhelming, we just don't know what to do. There's nothing we can do. And I suspect for many of us actually in this room, or for those that are streaming, that might be right now. There might be moments like right now that we're living in where we just feel powerless and we just feel overwhelmed by everything that is going on. You know, you think about something that is used to be simple, like going to the grocery store. That used to be a simple thing. You pop in, you pop out, and you're good to go. Now that is a seemingly small task, but is now fraught and filled with worry and fear for a lot of people. And so there's these circumstances that are just outside of our control. And in those moments, it's in those moments where we just feel like we're about to be overwhelmed, where we're fearful about what's going to happen next, that Psalm 46 speaks into. This psalm speaks into those moments. Twice in our psalm, in verse 7 and verse 11, it says this: the Lord Almighty is with us. The Lord Almighty is with us. And in fact, the very beginning of our psalm, it says this: God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And because that is true, because God is our Almighty God, because God is our refuge, because God is our strength, because He has power over all things, here's what it says in verse 2. Therefore, because all of this is true, therefore, we will not fear. We shall not fear. Now, just as a brief caveat, this is not saying go and be reckless, you know, because you have nothing to fear. No, we still need to be wise and prudent, careful and avoid foolishness. But what it is saying is when it feels like nature itself is roaring at you, do not be afraid, because God has power over creation. When the nations are in uproar, and it feels like the world is falling apart, do not fear, because God is king. When the peoples and nations are at war and it just looks like disaster is everywhere, do not fear, because our God is the Almighty God and He is with you. And so when we feel powerless, or if the circumstances feel like they might overwhelm us, what the psalm is reminding us is that God is with you. And as we dive more in depth into this psalm, I want to look at a few things. One, we're going to see that God sustains and He protects us, that God dwells with us, and that God acts for us. And so that's what we're going to take a look at this morning. So first, that God sustains and protects us. And so I want to focus first on the first several verses, so in verses 2 and 3. And so I want to look at kind of what the psalmist is describing life is like at the moment. In verse 2, the earth is giving way. The mountains are falling into the heart of the sea. The mountains are quaking in verse 3. You know, and so we don't have we don't know exactly if there's a specific situation that this is speaking into. But the imagery that is describing is showing that these people are in distress. God's people are in some sort of distress. Because when you think about it, the earth and mountains, these are usually described as forces of strength. You know, these are unmovable, you know, just mountains. You can't move a mountain. A mountain's supposed to be as strong. You have to try and conquer the mountain because it's so big and so strong. But here, the mountains give way. They fall down. The mountains themselves quake at the water that is roaring and surging at them. And so it's as if creation itself is rebelling and is threatening to overwhelm the people. You know, the past couple of months, you know, in the news, there's been a series of hurricanes that have kind of hit the Gulf Coast. And if you've watched videos of it or maybe been in one yourself, a hurricane is just this fearsome force of nature. And so if you've watched any kind of news about a hurricane, just the water and the waves and the wind just wipe the slate clean. You know, I lived in a small town in Maryland called Havre de Grace, and you know, I had a small town, had a cute little boardwalk there where you could throw bread at the ducks and watch the nature. It was kind of in a little marshy area, and it was very, very beautiful. But one time we had a hurricane come through, and after the hurricane had come through, it was like the boardwalk was never there. It was just gone. And so it feels at times that the circumstances around us are just like that. That it feels like there is a hurricane surrounding us and that we just feel overwhelmed. You know, what can we do? And so that's kind of the first question that the psalmist asks is like, where does the psalmist go when he's in distress? And he actually says that in verse 1. God is our refuge and in strength and ever-present help in trouble. That's where the psalmist goes. That's where he begins. Even before he gets to the circumstances that are distressing, he knows that God is my refuge. He is this place where I can go to. He is this protective faith. He's this fortress. And I know if I go to this place, I am safe. I am safe from all of the danger that is around me. You know, he says that God is my strength and ever-present help in trouble. And so for there, it's like he's also my internal strength. Not only am I protected in this refuge, not only am I protected in this place, but God is the source of inner strength to endure no matter what the trouble is. Therefore, he says, because I know that God is this for me, because I know that God is my refuge, because I know that God is my source of inner strength, therefore, I do not need to fear. Even though the mountains are shaking, and even though the mountains are going into the sea, I do not need to fear. And so then the question then for us is, where do we go in our distress? Although maybe the first question we need to ask before we get to where do we go is, do we even acknowledge that we might be in distress? You know, here the psalmist is clearly stating and acknowledging the realities of his world around him. He's acknowledging that the mountains are falling, that the mountains are quaking. You know, in verse 6, the nations are in uproar and kingdoms are falling. You know, in verses, you know, 8 and 9, the world is at war. The psalmist is clearly acknowledging, hey, we are in distress. These circumstances are hard, are overwhelming. And I notice this in myself at times when I feel overwhelmed, that I have a couple of tendencies that I do. You know, one of the things is I try to minimize the circumstance. You know, I try to delegitimize my own feelings. Like, it's not that big a deal. Or that other person, I see they're in a similar circumstance and they seem to be handling it well, I should be handling it well. You know, what I'm feeling, it's not that big a deal, when in reality it actually is. What you might be going through might be really hard. And it might be really hard for you, even if someone else is going through the same thing, you might feel it a lot differently. So that's one thing I know I've noticed in myself. Something else I try to do is, you know, I tend to ignore kind of what's going on. I tend to turn to things that might help me not deal with whatever the circumstance is, help me not face whatever my current hard reality is. You know, for me, one of those things is reading. And again, I'm not saying that reading is bad. Reading is very good. So, you know, read books. Reading is very good. But sometimes how I interact with reading is not as healthy. Let's take one of my favorite books is the Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien. And it is easy for me to get lost within that book. It's easy for me to get lost, and I'm reading, and I am with Bilbo in the heart of the mountain. You know, we are trying to escape the goblins. We are doing riddles in the dark. We found the ring and we're trying to get out. You know, I am there with it. And everything that is going on outside is gone. But what is unhelpful about that is that it's only temporary. Because as soon as I close the book, my circumstances haven't changed. Those hard realities are still out there for me. Nothing has been resolved. Nothing has been changed. I'm just temporarily satisfied. But it's only temporary. And the same is true whether that's for, you know, you watch a movie or you turn on the television or you jump on social media or sports or maybe you dive really hard into your work or you pick up a new hobby. Do we turn to things that are temporary to help us ignore whatever our hard and challenging circumstances are? Do we try to distract ourselves from our distress with temporary satisfactions? Or, as what the psalmist says, do we try to turn to God's safe embrace as our refuge and our strength, as his life-giving strength helps us endure the hardships and the circumstances that we face? And that brings us to our second point in our second section that we're going to look at, verses 4 through 7. And in this section, we see that God dwells with us, that God lives with his people. And so here the imagery shifts a little bit from our first section. In the first section, we saw that the waters are roaring and surging. But here in verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Whereas before, the water was this force of nature that threatened to overwhelm the people of God. Now, it has been tamed, and it is a river that brings life and gladness to the people of God. And where are we now? You know, before we were just kind of, hey, this is all going on, but now we are here in verse 4, the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. We are in the covenant community, this heavenly community where God is, that God is with his people. But I want us to notice that, okay, now we're in the city of God. God is with us, but the outside circumstances haven't changed. As we read in verse 6, the nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. Outside is still hard. Those circumstances are still hard. But what's changed is that now we are with God within his city. And we see that yet, even though that is going on, yet God is there and the city is unmoved. And we read that God is within her. She will not fall. No matter what is going outside, no matter that the nations are in uproar, God's city, God's people will not fall. Because God is there. He is there and he will protect and sustain them through the night. We read that he's going to help at the break of day. You know, that God is our daily strength to endure. And that he doesn't watch, you know, he watches over his people and he doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. You know, and I love Psalm 121. It says this, you know, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God watches over you through the night. And what great news that is, that even though you know, think you put yourself in the city, you're in this city at the night, the nations are roaring, nature, creation is roaring, but you can rest because God is watching over you. That's great news, but it's also humbling news. I can't think how many times this past week where I wish I had more hours in the day. I wish I had more time. I wish I had more energy to complete the tasks that were on my list. And realizing that I can't do it. I'm finite. I don't have more time. I don't have more energy. My list is too long. I can't do it. But that's not true for God. You know, how peaceful and restful it is knowing that God watches over us. How humbling that is, that we can't do it, but God has, and that he watches over us. And what confidence that should give us as well. If we look at verse 7, you know, think of, this is almost like a battle cry. Like, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You know, it's fascinating as we think about team sports and things like that, how and to watch this one team that, you know, has this incredible or just kind of great player. You know, over this past summer, there was a documentary series that came out about Michael Jordan, who was, he's probably one of the best, if not the best, basketball player that the NBA has ever had. And it's fascinating to watch interviews of his teammates from that time, because these teammates had confidence that surpassed their own abilities. Like, they would play hard, and they would work hard, and they would try to keep up. But, you know, they knew whenever they got into a game, it didn't matter how hard the other team played, it didn't matter how bad their team played, they knew they were going to win because they had Michael Jordan on their team. Michael Jordan was not going to let them lose. And that's what this document, Michael, this all-time great player, was going to carry his team to the championship. And that is ours in faith, that God is with us and he will not let his people fall. That is ours in faith. You know, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. That is God for us. And so we see that God sustains us and he protects us, that God dwells with us, dwells with his people. And then that brings us to our third section, and our third idea is that God acts for his people. And that's how verse 8 begins. It says, come and see what the Lord has done. Come and see what the Lord has done. And again, we're kind of shifting from the previous sections. You know, section 1 and 2 are kind of, hey, this is our current reality. This is, you know, this is our current circumstances. This is hard. Section 3 that we're about to look at with verse 8 and the following verses, it's almost a fast forward. It's like, come and see what he has done. Come and see what he has accomplished. You know, and that's, if we look at the kind of the verb tenses, you know, in the beginning, God is this. He is our refuge and our strength. He is our ever-present help in trouble. You know, God is within her. You know, she will not, God will help her at the break of day. And then we get here to verse 8. Come and see what the Lord has done. Look at what he has brought. He's already done it. Okay, so it's kind of a fast forward almost. And the Psalms often have this long view in mind. You know, a lot of the Psalms have, okay, here's what our current circumstances are. They are challenging and they are hard. But keep in mind who God is. God is our refuge and our strength, and he will sustain us through our current circumstances, and he will bring about renewal and peace. He will do this. And so that's kind of the long view in mind that a lot of these psalms have, and what our psalm this morning has. And we see here in our this last section here that the Lord brings peace. You know, the Lord brings peace. If we read in verse 9, he makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He's bringing an everlasting peace. He's breaking the bow. He's shattering the spear. He's burning the shields with fire. He's destroying these instruments of war. These tools of war are no more. There is now peace. At last, he's establishing peace on the earth. But something to note about this peace is not, oh, you know, a pretty please peace. This is not a negotiated peace. This is a God is coming and conquering and bringing about peace. You know, one author says this, that the outcome is peace, but the process is God's judgment. That God is coming and he is going to both judge the world and renew it. And so we read in verse 6 that, you know, the earth is melting. In verse 8, that he's bringing desolations. You know, the same voice that spoke creation into being is now speaking judgment against sin and against an unfaithful world. But it's important to remember where God's people are. It's important to remember where the faithful are. They're with God in his city. And so for God's people, they are with their holy king in the city of God. And so while God indeed does bring judgment against the warring world and he stops it and he brings peace, God's people are still with him. As we continue and we look here at verse 10, we see that God actually speaks. And he speaks a command. He says, you know, be still. You know, essentially stop. You know, be still. God is rebuking and speaking against creation rebelling. He is rebuking and speaking against the nations that are in uproar. He is rebuking and speaking against the wars, and he is making them stop. Be still. You know, one of the great images, I think, when you think about this be still, is Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, when he's out on the boat. And it says this in Mark 4, that when they are out on the boat, he's, you know, they've left, they're leaving the crowd, they took him on, and he was in the boat, and there were other boats with him. And a furious squall came up, and waves broke over the boat, and it was nearly swamped. And Jesus is in the stern, and he's sleeping. And so the disciples wake him up in terror. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? And it reads here in verse 39 that Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. That is what God is doing. Be still. And we read in our psalm, be still. And know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And God's glory is what is in view here. You know, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that God's glory is here. That he will be exalted. You know, our hope is in our Creator. Our hope is in our Almighty God. Our hope is not in what we can do. Our hope is in what he has done as well. And so as we think about kind of what this psalm means for us, one of the first things that it means for us is that we have to humble ourselves. You know, what are areas where we need to be still and acknowledge that he is the Almighty God? I think next, how this applies to us is one, the second, to cast our burdens on him. Rest in him. Remember that we, while we are finite, God is not. That God is the place that we go to in our troubles. Next, I think that what this psalm means for us is that we pray fervently, knowing that he is with us in our troubles. And then as the psalm closes, you know, that God will be exalted among the nations. That's what we're doing this morning. We praise and exalt our heavenly God, our Almighty God. We rest in him, abide in him, because he is the one who gives us everlasting peace. You know, and if this Psalm 46, this is the hymn book of ancient Israel, this is what they sang and how they worshiped God, and this is true for them, how much more is this true for us today? Because Jesus is our refuge and our strength. He is our ever-present help in trouble. You know, Jesus, he is the one who physically came down and dwelt among us. He knows what it means to suffer because he suffered as well. And you know, now, and he has sent his Spirit to dwell within us, to dwell within his people. And we see that God has acted through his Son. We look back to what he has done on the cross, how he has died for us and defeated death. But our hope is also that he rose again. And the long view in mind that he is coming again to renew all things and to bring an everlasting peace. And so that is our hope, that in all things, in all circumstances, in all troubles, in all distress, in all of our problems, that the Lord Almighty is with us. That he is our refuge and our strength. He is an ever-present help. And that is our hope, because that is true. And because that is true, we do not need to fear. Let me pray for us. Lord God, we thank you that you are indeed our daily bread, that you sustain us through the evening, that you watch over us as we slumber and as we sleep, but Lord, that you do not sleep. And Lord, we thank you that you are our God, and that you are indeed, Jesus, that you are indeed coming again, and we pray, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come, that your kingdom would come. And Lord, we continue as throughout our weeks, and I pray that you would help us to lean on you, that you would help us to depend on you, to bring our troubles to you. And Lord, we pray as you taught us, indeed, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.